it was such a great way for us to also physically invest in the team. I don't know how to explain it any further, but it almost made me feel like the vibes of a fraternity hazing without the pain.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
Hey, this is Carla. Good morning and happy Monday. Welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. So it has been a super duper busy past few weeks for me. And I really rushed to get this episode out, but I just finished the 4-day retreat with my team at Proximity Outsourcing, and it was super fun. And that's actually going to be the topic for our podcast today. I noticed that a lot of fully remote online businesses really want to invest in like an in-person retreat, an in-person set of activities that really are beneficial for their team, that will really help them team become better, have a better bond, have better camaraderie, and just basically empower their team and make them learn a lot of important values and important lessons that they can apply in their jobs or in their positions, in their roles. And in the past few years of me doing this, it has always been a great ROI for me. And I've been doing this for a long time. So even before I owned a fully online company, I used to do yearly team building activities with my team from my flower shop, with my team from my events company. So I guess that's also another facet where I have an advantage, because I own an events company in the Philippines and I am basically the main strategist of that company, but my team does the implementation. I spend less than an hour a week kind of managing that business, because as you guys know, I'm already busy enough with Proximity Outsourcing. We've grown amazingly over the past year, 2024, and now we're down to our last month, and I'm super excited to close out this year, and also really, really optimistic and excited for the year to come. And so because I have a background as an events professional, I literally used to do team building activities. I used to do processing for these team building activities for other companies, corporations, government offices. I have an idea of what makes a great team building activity, but a company retreat is different. It is a host of different things. And in this podcast episode, I'm going to share with you, I would say, 6 of my best learnings so that you can apply this for your own company retreat, your own team building activity, and really what makes it super beneficial for your team and how you can optimize parts of it so that you don't only make sure that it's a great experience for everyone, but also that it makes sense in your books. Basically, as the business, you want it to be a good investment. You want it to ROI. So this is a conversation between you and me, one founder to another, and this is just me helping you out. So I would say tip number one and biggest lesson is that you have to base the activities on your core values. And so I sincerely believe that having a firm set of core values for your business and really enforcing it, believing in it, reminding your team all the time about it, really making it a pillar, an anchor of your behavior in the company is super powerful. So if you base your activities in the company retreat on the core values that you have, each activity will have a deeper meaning because now they're not just principles, but they're actually things that you embody and imbibe in your day-to-day. And even though a retreat is only like once a year and it's only a small blip of time compared to the whole time that they're working in your business, if they're full-time, of course, they spend 8 hours a day working in your company, then sometimes people forget that they need to always imbibe and they need to embody this set of core values. And so base your activities on core values. So some of our activities and some of the games that we did during the team building activity, which by the way, we hired a professional to facilitate for us. I'm not facilitating this or my team. I want us to really enjoy it. So we hired a super amazing team building company, team building facilitators that also does huge team building activities for corporations in the Philippines, and they read our core values, and I told them to base the games on our core values. So there were a lot of lessons that were highlighted in the activities and especially in the processing afterwards that really made its mark in my teammates' minds. And I know this because after the event, we all shared, after everyone has gone home, everyone has rested from their flights and the travel. It was pretty tiring, especially for some of our teammates that had to take two flights just to get to the city where we did our team building, is that they said that the activities that really stood out to them were the activities that really highlighted their values as a person, and basically our core values as a company. And of course, the bonding was just outstanding. The friendship that we were able to really make potent, I would say, or empower. I don't know any other word to describe it, but we definitely built stronger friendships in those set of activities. And also there was a great kind of impression of respect and honor towards each other because now we see these people, they actually treat the core values as a real thing. And it was like such a huge reminder and hashtag core memory for sure. My next advice is have a set of activities that addresses your team's hard skills and a set of activities that addresses your team's soft skills. So when I say hard skills, these are skills or knowledge that they can use in their business. So it could be, it depends on your company. It could be like funnel building. Maybe you can do a funnel building workshop, or you can do a workshop on customer success, which is what we did with my husband. He's an amazing customer success consultant. He owns a customer success consulting firm that helps companies make more money by improving retention, loyalty, and focusing on customer-led growth programs. So that's what he does. He gets paid a lot of money to do that. And he has training from Amazon, Microsoft, and he used to lead a team of customer success managers in Amazon. And so he literally has like world-class training, and he was able to develop a program that was a great match for my team, my teeny tiny outsourcing company compared to obviously the behemoth that is Amazon. So that was awesome. That was one of the hard skills kind of workshop that we did. And the soft skills workshops and learnings, we did some team building activities on interpersonal relations, like how to deal with different personalities in the workplace. I also did a class on persuasion and how learning persuasion when you're writing, when you're dealing with people, when you're trying to convince people or trying to persuade them to do the action that you want them to do, because there's a lot that you or your company can gain from it. And not just that, because it is the best for the person you're talking to, you really need to improve your persuasion skills to do that. So sometimes persuasion or negotiation or convincing people, it doesn't mean that you're trying to do that because you have something to gain. Sometimes people are blind to what is the best thing for them. And this is why sometimes you also have to convince them of that. And so I did a class on persuasion. We were able to process and do some role plays based on each department and how persuasion can be used better for their roles as, say, a client success manager, an HR officer, our operations manager, our marketing assistant. So the different departments in my company, the people under those departments, they were able to identify moments where knowing persuasion is super beneficial for their roles. Lastly, I want to emphasize that if you are an online business and if you hire people to work for other people, for lack of a better term, and all of this service is delivered virtually or through the internet, through your laptops, your core investment is really the quality of people that you have. Sometimes they are, I mean, I would say most of the time, they're not just typing away on the laptop. This is a job that really needs your brain switched on, and you can only fake it for a particular amount of time, but definitely not a very long time. If someone is not doing their job properly, or if someone is not pulling their weight in a team virtually, it's going to be obvious. And that is why we don't really encourage doing all the time doctor, time tracking things, the screen monitoring things for our clients, because let me tell you, we have a system that can tell if someone's working or not. Like, it's just going to be very obvious. As long as we're all reasonable here and we all have the right idea of how long each task takes, it's pretty easy. And so if your business is people, if your business is online, you need to invest in your people. And I would say that investment of personal development and skills development will always go together. And the higher quality of people that you have for your company, the higher level service and the higher value the service is for that you give to your clients. And so that is going to be obvious in the quality of people that you place or the quality of people that are working for your company. And they have a saying that's, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest employee. And so this is why I always invest in my team's soft skills and hard skills, and doing this super intentionally during the workshop or during the team building activities. The retreat was such a treat for me because I was able to see my team upgrade right in front of my eyes, and me as well. I learned a lot of things, and I am, even though I would call myself a natural teacher, I used to teach marketing in one of the best business universities in the Philippines. I taught in another college as well, a smaller college, and I've done workshops and everything, and I always usually I'm the one who teaches people things, but a lot of teachers also learn from their students. And I definitely experienced that during the retreat. I was able to observe my teammates, and I was able to also learn from them and really appreciate them. So win-win for everyone. My next learning is that, especially if you're working online and if your team is 100% online, It's so awesome to have physically strenuous activities. That just made me sound like a masochist or something. But let me tell you, even if I go to the gym almost every day and I try to get 10,000 steps a day, nothing prepared me for the amount of strenuous physical activities that we did during this event. And you know what? It was so worth it. Even though we all needed a massage right after and we were all tired, it was such a great way for us to also physically invest in the team. I don't know how to explain it any further, but it almost made me feel like the vibes of a fraternity hazing without the pain. It was all just, there was a little bit of physical pain because we're all in our 30s. I think we only have two people in their 20s that, and they also felt tired. So everyone who was in their 30s who had like a little bit of back pain or something, we definitely, were tired. But the team building, the physically strenuous team building activities, first of all, it was a great exercise. Everyone stretched for like 30 minutes, as we were just chit-chatting and preparing for the activities. But it also highlighted a lot of positive things for our teammates. Like, first of all, it was a great exercise of sportsmanship and fairness. And that was awesome to see. We were very competitive and it obviously was very, very fun. Another thing that I saw was that everyone's brains were just working. So, along with their bodies. So, we did some physical activities and then we did some strategy-based activities as well. And I could just see everyone's brains clicking. Everyone was trying to have a little bit of a go, like a go around or like skirting around the rule. And they would ask the team building facilitator, "Hey, these are the instructions. These are the guidelines. Can we do this? Because you did not mention that." And so we were always trying to find an out of the box way to do things. And that was awesome for me to see. Because at the end of the day, because the activity is already physically strenuous, we wanted to be smart and efficient about it. That was awesome to see for sure. Lastly, of course, I think I already shared this, the camaraderie, the bond that just forms after you guys do a strenuous activity is very, very special. This is one of the reasons why CrossFit blew up so much because the workouts were heavy, the workouts were difficult, and everyone just felt like they were a part of a family, a part of a team, a part of a fraternity, a part of a brotherhood that was doing this. And that is actually one of the reasons why CrossFit is very famous. And it really blew up. It was because of this physical bond that people make when they're doing something hard or something difficult at the same time. So I don't care if all of you work behind a laptop. I don't care if you admit that your source of entertainment after you work at a laptop is Netflix. So that's another screen, another round of sitting down. It's really awesome to have some team building activities that are around physically strenuous activities. So that was awesome. I would say learning number four, be extra mindful on focusing on the relationships and the bonding that people get. So it doesn't mean that because you're sharing in a circle or because you're doing a team building activity or that you're competing against each other, hence forming a stronger bond with your teammates in the competitive team building activity, it doesn't mean that all of these activities will automatically contribute to better relationships, right? And so I want you to really be super mindful about the relationships that you are building. Is there a part of this activity that might make someone feel cheated on, you know, in this game or something like that? So be mindful of that. And of course, as you're planning your activities based on your core values, always think about the group as a group. So no one should be winning a game all by themselves. Sure, you can play some drinking games, I guess, if you're drinking afterwards, and that's kind of like a social thing. But in the curated activities for your team building or your retreat, you have to think of the relationships and how it benefits the relationships. So another example that I can think about is when I did the persuasion workshop, I also highlighted how knowing persuasion or being better at persuasion can make you have better relationships in the workplace. And so that was awesome as well, because aside from a skill that they developed, it also helped them improve how they relate to other people. And sometimes when we're working behind a screen, our relationships are kind of surface level. But if your team building activities and your retreat activities are super intentional, then you're not going to have a hard time planning these activities, and it's all ROI from there. Okay, so tip number five is I would say treat everyone equally, even the bosses. So I definitely suggest that for the activities, you drop your ranks, you drop your roles, you drop your ideas of who's manager, who's an assistant. It doesn't matter. All of you are in the level playing field. And I know that some cultures emphasize calling their bosses ma'am or sir or boss, like literally like boss Carla. I used to have a company before where I plugged in into this already set company culture. I was hired as a CEO and a partner, and they already were calling their boss's boss. So people were calling me boss Carla, boss K, or things like that. And to be honest, it made me feel a little uncomfortable. I'm just not used to that. But for your team building activities, everyone is on equal ground. And so it's awesome because you get to really see people for the humans that they are, and not just particular ranks. And it humbles the people on the higher ranks, and it also empowers the people on the lower ranks. And so now everyone is on a level playing field, and it's just pretty awesome to see. So even when we were doing the simpler activities, like we had a potluck on day one. Actually, it wasn't a potluck. It was actually a catered dinner. I didn't require for people to cook right after their flights, but when it was about time to like get the plates, get this sorted, everyone was just helping out. No one was bossing anyone around. No one was sitting down and waiting for their plate just because they're the boss. So that was pretty cool to see. And as a last tip for me is plan smartly. So I understand that activities like this and initiatives like this could be a very expensive or it's a huge chunk. It's a huge chunk of your budget. So I spent thousands of dollars to make this happen. And to book everything, book the professional planners. And by the way, we also did a nonprofit activity, a charity activity. We went to a shelter for abused, trafficked, and prostituted women. And it's like a shelter and a support center where they can get support, they can get livelihood support to teach them skills so that they can get out of that business. And they also get medication in case they contract diseases or something like that. But these women need uplifting. These women need help. And these women need to be seen as valuable members of the society and not be shunned. And so I have a female forward, I would say, team. Obviously, we're not sexists. It just happened naturally. My management team is 80% women, and so we all decided that this would be a great place to do our nonprofit activity. Last year, we did a nonprofit activity in an orphanage where we donated sports equipment for 150 kids. And so for this one, we went to the shelter. We did a little Christmas party for them. We did some games. We hired a stand-up comedian and a singer to perform and kind of manage the program. We had some food catered, and we also donated groceries for these ladies. That was awesome as well. So planning that and the place where they stayed at, which was also not the most affordable place. Of course, all the meals, the transportation. We hired drivers. We booked a really nice restaurant for our last night. And so that's a huge chunk of your budget. And I would say plan smartly and budget it properly. So what I did is that I was already planning for this retreat 6 months in advance. And so every time there is an airline flight that would be on sale, I would buy it at that time. And so a lot of my teammates' flights were bought months ago, and I booked some of the rooms months ago, weeks ago. We really prepared for it. And it was nice because we were not rushing. We were able to get really good prices for a lot of things. And most of all, it was not a lot of stress for us because everything was taken care of when they got to my city or my hometown where I live in Davao, Philippines. And so with a little bit of advanced planning and a little bit of being like efficient with the prices, knowing when the prices drop for flights, for certain activities, or if you buy something in bulk and if you have to order it online, you just do it in advance. If you plan it properly, and of course, if you motivate your team to really look forward to this activity, it also uplifts their spirits, which makes them really good at their job, actually. And so it just worked out. It just worked out. Plan efficiently, plan super early, and have great intentions for your company retreat. So I would say those are my learnings from this round. We always thankfully and fortunately make it better each year. So I cannot wait to do this again next year. We're going to be a bigger team. So my team has doubled from 2023 to 2024. And that's big thanks to, of course, our clients who have always supported us, who have always told other people about us, our affiliates who have always referred us and has gained a lot of confidence by telling other people about our work. My following, I would say number three. Now this is turning into like a Grammy speech or something, but I also obviously would love to thank people who follow me, follow my brand, every one of you listening to this podcast who know what I do and tell other people what I do. Some of our guests who have become my friends through this podcast. I'm super duper happy with regards to our rate of growth. It is just astounding, and it also inspires me to be better, inspires me to give more, not just to my team, but also to my community. So, well, here's the pitch. If you want consistent growth in your company, and if you're ready to hire and outsource great people, great managers, and work with a company that invests in their people, hit me up. Send me a message on Instagram, Carla Stefan, KarlaStefan, or you can find me on Facebook or on LinkedIn, Carla Singson, and I'll always reply to my messages. I handle my inboxes myself. My team handles everything else, but I handle my inbox. So thank you so much for letting me share all of this with you. I hope that you learned a lot from it, and I hope that this helps you plan the best company retreat ever. So thank you so much, and see you next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, Everything here is none of your business.